Good afternoon. We're in the Gospel of John, and providentially, this morning's scripture reading from the New Testament gave us again the account of Peter, the disciple Peter's denial of Christ three times with a curse. One of the inner circle of Jesus' disciples, James and John and Peter. And today we come to that passage of scripture, a short passage of scripture. And I'll try and keep it short too. I'll do my best. Where Jesus, in a sense, reinstates Peter as he speaks to him for the first time. So remember where we are. We're pretty much in the third appearance of Christ to his disciples, and this time only to seven. Let's read that scripture reading, verses 15 to 19 of John chapter 21. We just have a few sermons left in this book, this Gospel of John. It's sermon number 110 today, if you were counting. Let's read together the scriptures. This is the Word of God. John 21, verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. When you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you to where you would not like to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. After saying this, he said to him, "Follow me. Follow me." This is the third appearance of Christ to his disciples. There's been that wonderful catch of fish, the first miracle since Jesus rose from the dead. At this third appearance, seven disciples present. And it's John who perceptively, even though they couldn't see through the mist in the early morning, 100 yards off, Jesus instructed him, "Cast the net on the right side." And then the net was full of fish. And John says to Peter, "It is the Lord." And what does Peter do? Impulsive Peter just puts on his cloak and he dives into the water and he swims to the side. And they have breakfast together. And this, what we read today, takes place after breakfast. It seems they just enjoy breakfast together. And then, in our passage, Jesus turns to Peter. And you can imagine, having read and been reminded of Peter's denial of Christ, the close disciple who had promised that he would follow Christ anywhere to death, and just a couple hours later denies him three times. He could not have been sleeping well. And Jesus appears the first time and says nothing to Peter. Jesus appears the second time and corrects Thomas the doubter. "See the hands, see the marks, see my feet, see my side." And it appears he says nothing to Peter. And Peter, anxious, Peter knows there's a conversation that I must have with Jesus. And that is where we are and we find ourselves. This great lesson to Peter, the one who said, "Lord, I'll follow you anywhere." A great lesson in humility for Peter, of dependence upon Christ, of awareness, constant awareness of the weakness of the flesh and the reality of remaining sin. Reminder to us, as Peter was a boaster, to boast only this, that we know the Lord, that we know the Lord. Let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, righteousness in the earth, For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And Peter has learned a great lesson as he's reinstated this day. Well, let's study and consider this short passage under three simple headings today. Number one, we consider in the first place, and we're not just going to see what the Lord was saying to Peter, but we want to know, even as we come to the Lord's Supper, what is God's word saying to me today? Because it is for this reason that these things have been written. Number one, love for Christ means loving him supremely. Love for Christ means loving him supremely. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter was not being false here. Peter's love for Christ had never waned. He was a passionate fisherman. This was his character. His passion seemed to shine through in all that he did, though impulsive and passionate. And you know, our Lord never tried to suppress or urge them to change his character. But our Lord Jesus Christ, as we see even today, rather shaped him and sanctified him through his trials and his failures. And as we know, the Lord used Peter greatly, and he was of great usefulness to the church of Jesus Christ, even to the point of suffering and death in the way that Jesus Christ suffered. And Peter proves his love at the end of his life and through his life. Love strong as death, just as his Savior's love for him. But you can be sure our Lord's restoration of Peter was a painful reminder to him, even as Jesus questions him three times, just as he denied the Lord three times. And what Jesus is doing here is not rebuking him. Do you see a rebuke? Jesus is giving him opportunity publicly before the seven present time to reaffirm his love for Christ, which Peter does unwaveringly, without thinking. There is no open rebuke to Peter. There's no command here for Peter to repent, for this he has done. He has repented with tears, and he probably hasn't slept much until this time. And you can be sure, as one gospel tells us, as the cock crows, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Brothers and sisters, it was not a scowl. It was not, I told you so. No, I can assure you it was a look of love and of forgiveness. Because Christ was about to go to the cross and do what he's already told them, and prove that he will do what he's told them. He will die for their sins. And as he hung and suffered, Christ proved his boundless love and forgiveness as he suffered there for the sins of all his people for all eternity. The once for all sacrifice for sin as our high priest and a perfectly acceptable sacrifice. How gracious is our Lord Jesus Christ with Peter. He addresses Peter in his original name, not the name that he gave him. He uses the name that he gave, that he addressed him with when Peter announced him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did the scriptures tell us? Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And now Jesus says to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? If this is a rebuke, what a welcome rebuke. Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than life here on earth? I love to fish. I used to be in the fish business. And that haul of fish that they caught, if you weren't a fisherman, you saw it, you wanted to go fish after that. Simon Peter, do you love me more than your fishing, than your boat, than the thrill of the big catch? Do you love me more than these, your true brothers, Peter, James, and John, your friends, your closest friends, the disciples of Christ? Do you love me more than your family, Do you love me more than your possessions, anything and everything in the whole world? Brothers and sisters, for Christ demands this of his children. And this is always what must characterize the people of God. Though always tainted with remaining sin, and we like Peter don't want to sin, and yet we sin. And we ask for God's forgiveness. And then we sin again, and we tell ourselves, I will never do that despicable thing again. And I'm sure Peter told himself 1,000 times. And then we sin again. Brothers and sisters, what characterizes the people of God is that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. In our sin, in our failings, in our shortcomings, in that remaining flesh, in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. Sinning every day, yet Christ demands only this. Love me more than these. Love me above everything else. Christ doesn't even raise Peter's past sins and heinous sins they were. But rather he gets him to publicly reaffirm his love because Christ says, your sins I will remember no more. But Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? This is the message for Peter, pressed to his conscience that day. It's an old commandment. This is not a new commandment. The people of God know this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love for Christ means loving him supremely. And Peter's ready. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And brothers and sisters, after we've sinned, confessed our sins to God, terrible sins, sins that we hate, we love Christ. We love Christ. Because this is the mark of the believer. Verse 16, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, yes, you know that I love you. And verse 17, he says to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because the Lord said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Peter here appeals to Christ as God because Christ has become his God. Christ has risen from the dead. He is the divine Son. And Christ proclaimed this before, my Lord and my God, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he appeals to Christ's omniscience. Yes, Christ knows everything. And Peter's a transparent page before Jesus. You know this. You know my heart. You know everything. You know that I love you. Brothers and sisters, I want you to consider today the people closest to you. The people you love more than life itself. In this world, my dear wife, I love her more than I can ever say. Consider the material things of this world most important to you. You know, maybe 10 years from retirement, if the Lord grants me that long, maybe less. And so your little pension is very precious to you. And right now, the stock market is wreaking havoc with our little nest eggs, isn't it? We're becoming fretting. Consider the things most important to you. And then consider Christ's question to you today. Consider the same question posed to Simon Peter. Put your name in there, Campbell College. Do you love me more than these? And then remember the words of our Savior, Matthew chapter 10. Whoever loves father, mother, more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves a son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Brothers and sisters, when one single sheep goes astray, when one young lamb in Christ gets caught in a thicket of sin and stumbling and doubt, when one corrected sheep of Christ's flock refuses to be corrected and restored and come to repentance, as each one of us do at times, What does Jesus Christ do, our good shepherd? Scriptures tell us he leaves the 99 to find the one with his rod and his staff if necessary. And when he finds him, he lifts him. He dresses his wounds and carries him home and restores him to the flock. A sinner, sinning against grace. This is what Jesus did to Peter that day. Why? Because of his great love for us. How great is the love the Father has for us that we should be called children of God. And this is what we are. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And all that he asks of us, do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Do you love me? Love for Christ means loving him supremely. This brings us to consider in the second place. Secondly, love for Christ means loving Christ's flock. Love for Christ means loving Christ's flock. I think it's Martin Luther who said, I may be wrong, love and do what you like. As long as you love, you can do what you... In other words, if you love God supremely, obedience to his commands, imitating and following the Lord Jesus Christ will be your chief delight and your pursuit in life. Consider the words of the Apostle Paul, who counted all his earthly achievements, his birthright as a Roman citizen, his superior education, and then his direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ as an apostle, all the things considered meritorious and noteworthy to the world, possessions and prestige and education and birthright. And yet Paul says, I consider these things rubbish. They are pure garbage. But for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And we taught throughout the scriptures that true love for Christ, true religion, and that is undefiled, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And John stresses in his first epistle, the writer of this gospel, he says, if a man says he loves God, but doesn't love his brother, he's a liar. It just doesn't work that way. Brothers and sisters, Christ will never demand from us that which he did first not express towards us and prove to us by his own example before them. Christ only ever gave the disciples one commandment. Do you know that? Besides the command that they should love him supremely. Chapter 13 of John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs, feed the little ones, take care of the young believers. Son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep, look after the sheep, look after my sheep, look after those for whom I died. If you say you love me supremely, this is what you'll do. This is Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you, Jesus said to him. Feed my sheep. Jesus is stressing to Peter that supreme love for him cannot be separated from loving those whom Christ loves and for whom he died. In fact, they are part of your own body. You are part of the body of Christ. We are all members of the same body. And Christ says, if you love me supremely, you will love what I love and whom I love. And so Peter's task his job, as with each apostle, their primary task, the true proof of their love, will be seen in this, not only the preaching of the gospel of salvation as ministers of the gospel, but to feed and to tend the young converts, and to feed them the milk of the word, to tend the sheep, to guide them, to teach them, to disciple them, to bring back the wandering, restore the heal the brokenhearted. Do not break the bruised reed or quench the faintly burning wick. As was said of our Savior, carefully raise disciples, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And feed the sheep with the meat of the word. Bring them to full maturity by the use of all scriptures, the profitable means given by Christ to the church. You will do these things, Jesus is saying, if you love me supremely. You will only do these things if you love one another as I have loved you, as proof that of your love to me and to the world, of which you ought to be salt and light. It is supreme love for Christ. It is love for one another that pleases the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And these words, you can be sure, stayed with Peter. And as the Spirit came at Pentecost, he assumed that commission of Christ all of his life. And he followed Christ even to suffering and death. The death on a cross that history tells us Peter suffered. We see Peter instructing fellow elders in the gospel as he passes the torch to thousands of generations after him. Love Christ supremely by loving Christ's sheep, by feeding and tending his lambs, feeding his sheep. Listen to the Holy Spirit through Peter as he wrote an epistle. 1 Peter 5 verse 2, what does he say to the other pastors? Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Peter never forgot this in his life again. To love Christ supremely is to love his people, is to feed the sheep and the lambs and to tend the lambs. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. My fellow pastors, we're so blessed to have six pastors here. With all our flaws and weaknesses, love Christ supremely. Love, tend, feed his sheep. Young men, let nobody look down you because you are young. Older men and older pastors, do not let anyone despise you because you all but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. Brothers and sisters, this is no less an instruction for each one of you. You are your brother's keeper. The person sitting next to you and behind you, a member for which you promised to pray, and the Lord has blessed us with members. You are his keeper. You are your children at home. You are their evangelist and teacher. You are your wife's spiritual leader in the home. You are to love Christ supremely more than anyone or anything. And you are to care and love every member of the body of Christ and love them as Christ loved the church. And sadly, some members join the church, they attend faithfully. And membership is not, attendance is not your only responsibility in the church of Christ. You are part of the body of Christ, and each member is your responsibility. You may not preach or teach, but you must love and pray and care for and provide for and encourage and exhort and rebuke. And practice true religion by your love and your good works. You must keep yourself unstained from the world. And you are your brother's keeper too. This is what it means to love Christ supremely. And to love every one of his sheep as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Love for Christ means loving Christ supremely. Love for Christ means loving Christ's flock. This brings us to our third and final consideration. Love for Christ means denying yourself and following Christ. Love for Christ means denying yourself and following Christ. Look at verse 18 and 19. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself, walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not wish to go. And Peter and John, the writer, puts in a little remark here. This was to show how Peter would die, would be led and crucified like Christ. After saying this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. We'll continue this next week as we continue to talk about what it means to follow Christ, because at that point Christ meant follow me, do what I do. But Christ also got up and started walking away, and then he repeats it later and we'll see that. And this is the key to loving Christ supremely. This is the key to loving Christ's sheep as he loved us. These things are not possible without the help of the Holy Spirit. These things are not possible unless we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. Again, the supreme example of self-denial, is it not in the Savior himself? Pastor Rick preached on that last Lord's Day. Christ, the Lord Jesus, who denied himself, who humbled himself in obedience to God's command. From Philippians 2, that we to have that mind among ourselves. The Lord Jesus, though he was God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, and he made himself a servant, and he went to the death on the cross for us. Consider the last recorded words of our Savior to Peter in this text today. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. And if you jump ahead to next week, the very last words of Christ recorded in this gospel is what? The same thing. When Peter questions the Savior, says, what about John? He was following at a distance. What about this man? You've told me what's for me. What about him? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You follow me. Following the Lord Jesus Christ, something that each one of us as a baptized church member has promised to do. And it is only possible through a life of self-denial, like the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not the most important person, but Christ's sheep are. My love, supreme love for Christ, shows itself in a love for Christ's people. This is the cost of following Christ. This is the cost of loving him supremely. This is the cost of loving and tending and feeding the sheep. It is self-denial, like Christ, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured this cross, scorning its shame, and now is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And there's something that three of the four Gospels expressed, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it's taught all over the Gospel of John and throughout the Scriptures. Listen to Jesus' words, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Consider, what did this mean to Peter, and to Paul, and to James, and to Stephen, and to every Christian martyr, every believer pressed down with trials and infirmities, believers subjected to hardship of every kind, scorned, perhaps rejected, scoffed at, loss of family or loved ones because you love Christ, plagued by remaining sin, afflicted and tempted by Satan, yet they follow him. Yet believers love him supremely. Yet they love the brothers. Yet they deny themselves and take up their crosses daily and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. For Peter, this meant imprisonment, suffering, and death at the end of his life, a life of self-denial and service to Christ. And history teaches us this is exactly what happened. In fact, some historians claim that Peter was crucified upside down. But brothers and sisters, he entered the glory of God and is with the Savior, and is promised on that last day the crown of life, which will be awarded by the righteous judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter accepted his cross, like thousands after him, with joy, and considered a privilege to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll ask you today, what is your cross? Is your cross too much to bear? Lord, this is too much. Are your momentary afflictions too heavy a cross to bear? Take heart, brothers and sisters. Love Christ supremely. Love the brothers deeply from the heart. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Christ. And for each one of us, like the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Apostle Peter and James and Paul and Stephen, and thousands of martyrs since then, and thousands of believers who have lived lives of self-denial, following Christ, loving Christ supremely, loving the brothers deeply from the heart, caring for them, providing for them, praying for them, there is laid down aside a crown of life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to us. Was it not Peter and John, after the first imprisonment, after Pentecost, and when they whipped and ill-treated, and they're walking home, and they say, when they left the presence, the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name, of Christ. Next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we'll look more closely at what it means to take up our cross and to follow Christ. Let me close with the words of the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, that I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and that by any means possible, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Christian, brothers and sisters, Christ calls you in his word to affirm your supreme love for him today. Do you love me more than these? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Follow me. Let's ask ourselves as we come to the Lord's table, and let's hear the voice of Jesus say to us today, do you love me more than these? Is there nothing in all the world, no possession, no person, that you love more supremely than me? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your Son, our Savior. How we thank you for his words while he was on earth. How we thank you for his life of self-denial and humility. How we thank you that he went to the cross, scorning the shame, because of the great love with which you loved us, and that Christ loves his sheep. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, help us to love you more than these. Help us, Lord, to tend your sheep. Help us to love one another deeply from the heart. Help us to show our love towards our brothers in action. Give us a longing and desire to see the lost come to Christ, that we may bring them, that we may feed them, that we may encourage them, your people. Oh, Father, we look forward to that day when all afflictions will be past, all pain will be past, and you will bring all things to conclusion, and we will be with you forever. Lord Jesus Christ, help us to follow you more closely. Help us to love you more dearly. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.